This weekend, we celebrate Memorial Day, and on Memorial Day, we recognize the sacrifices of many who gave their lives for our nation, in defense of our freedoms, and so that's a worthy thing to recognize. It's a worthy thing to honor and to remember. And looking up a little bit of the history of Memorial Day, some of you may know this, but Memorial Day started after the Civil War and originally was known as Decoration Day. Some people still refer to it as Decoration Day. But it was originally started to honor the memories of those who had fallen in the Civil War. And then it was not until after World War II that Memorial Day was officially called that and was designed to remember all soldiers who had fallen in battle, not just the Civil War, but all of the wars that our country has been involved in for the sake of our freedoms. This is something that astounded me, but the number of American lives that were sacrificed in the Civil War almost equals the number of lives of Americans that have been sacrificed in all the wars since then. 625,000 Americans died in the Civil War, killing each other. About 650,000 Americans have died in the other wars that we fought since then. World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, even the more recent conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq. The world is a better place because of the freedoms that we enjoy. Our country is a better place. Our country is a better place without slavery. Our country is a better place without Nazism and fascism. The world is a better place without Nazism and fascism. The world is a better place for keeping in check the spread of communism across the world. And so these sacrifices that were made have made a profound impact on our world, I think, for the better. And we enjoy the freedoms of because of the sacrifices of these that have been given. And thinking about their memory and thinking about them laying down their lives for us, for their families, for their friends back home, it made me think about a passage of scripture that Jesus spoke in the Gospel of John, chapter 13. The Lord Jesus was talking with his disciples, and he said in John chapter 13, verse number 12, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." That's an amazing statement that our Lord made there, that the supreme act of love that we can give for one another is to lay down our life for our friends, for our loved ones, for our family. Jesus said this in the context of verse number 12, where he says that we are to love each other as I have loved you. And that kind of puts it in context when you think about the way in which Jesus has loved us. How has Jesus loved us? Jesus sacrificed all, didn't he, in love for us? And so in thinking about some of the men and women who have given their lives for our freedoms, I thought about the Lord Jesus and just wanting to honor him and honor his sacrifice for our ultimate freedom, right? Not just freedoms that we enjoy here in our nation, freedoms that can, depending on how history unfolds, freedoms that can be taken away. But Jesus laid down his life to set us free from the bondage of sin. He laid down his life to set us free from our enslavement to our own passions, our own desires, our own depravity. Jesus laid down his life to rescue us from the punishment of death and damnation that we all deserved. Jesus died to rescue us from the wrath of God. He died to rescue us from eternal death and to give us a freedom that can never be taken away. That is great love, isn't it? A man who lays down his life for his friends. The greatest example of that is the Lord Jesus laying down his life for us. Romans 5:8 says that God showed, he demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus loved by way of sacrifice, ultimate sacrifice. Jesus loved us by loving the unlovable. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. A world full of sin, a world in which darkness dwells, a world in which darkness did not recognize the light that was sent into the world. A darkness that rejected their own creator when he came into the world. But the light came and the light conquered the darkness, and Jesus came and laid down his life for us so that as we believe in him, we are rescued from perishing and we have the gift of eternal life. Jesus laid down his life for us in great sacrifice. He laid down his life for those that did not deserve it, for those who were unworthy of that sacrifice, but it was given out of love and willingness and service to others. And it's a love that can never end, isn't it? It's an eternal love. It's a never failing love. In the Old Testament, we often read of a particular term that in Hebrew is pronounced chesed, which is sometimes hard to translate into English, but it carries the idea of love, compassion, mercy, faithfulness. And the idea is of God's covenant love and mercy to his people. And that is a love that will never end. The Bible talks about God's chesed, his love, his mercy being unfailing, being eternal, being one that can never fail. And in the scriptures in the New Testament, we read that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing in all the world, nothing in all the universe can separate us from the love of God for us, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. He sacrificed for us. He loved those who were unlovable, those who didn't deserve it. He loved us eternally, and he will never fail us. And as a part of his love, he has given us the greatest gift that could ever be given, which is life and freedom. Freedom for all of eternity, freedom from our sin, freedom from condemnation, and eternal life in joy, in pleasure, in the presence of God forevermore. In a new heavens and a new earth, one that I think will make even the original Eden look small in comparison and pale in comparison to the new heavens and the new earth, the new paradise that God will make for his people. What a great gift we've been given in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus has laid down his life for us, and he has saved us by giving his own body in sacrifice to the death of the cross. And by his Spirit, he has called us to faith and to a living hope in Jesus Christ. And he has gathered us together as a body of believers in the church. And Jesus has called on us now to lay down our lives in sacrifice. But not in the same kind of sacrifice that Jesus gave. Because that's a one-time only sacrifice, isn't it? The sacrifice that Jesus gave is a sacrifice that can never be replicated by anyone else in the universe, in the history of the world. Either eternity past or eternity future. Yes, he laid down his human life in exchange for his friends, for those whom he loved. But he did more than that, didn't he? He laid down his life and took upon him the wrath of God, and he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And Jesus laid down his life not only physically, but spiritually, taking the wrath of God for us and bearing the cup of God's wrath so that we might have freedom. That's a death that can never be replicated. And it is a one-time, once-for-all sacrifice that the writer of Hebrews teaches us puts away, puts an end to all of the animal sacrifices of the Old Covenant. All those old sacrifices that we read about in Exodus and Leviticus, how the people would need to offer a bull or a lamb and offer it up as a burnt offering to the Lord, as an offering for their guilt. Those offerings have ceased. Why? Because Jesus has given the ultimate offering. But Jesus does call on us to make a sacrifice of our lives. But it's not a dead sacrifice. It's a living sacrifice. Romans 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." And so Jesus is calling on us to give of ourselves, to give our bodies, to give everything that we have in sacrifice of worship to God. But how do we express that? How do we live that out? How do we actually give our lives as a living sacrifice to God? How do we do that? Well, one way, obviously, is in direct relation to the Lord. I think we can give ourselves in sacrifice to the Lord in worship, in praise, in song, in prayer, in devoting ourselves to His Word, in all of the spiritual disciplines, prayer and reading the Word and meditation and fasting and in all of these spiritual practices, we can give ourselves to the Lord in devotion to Him as a living sacrifice. So that's one way we can offer up ourselves to the Lord as a sacrifice of worship to Him. But as I read through the rest of the passage of Romans chapter 12, I'm struck by the fact that most of what fills the rest of the passage has to do with our relationships with one another. And so, for example, in Romans 12, I'm just going to kind of hit and miss some texts from Romans chapter 12 that highlight how much of this passage is about our relationships with one another. In verse 3, he says, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you." And then for a few verses, he talks about the various spiritual gifts that God has distributed to the church, and how as a body of Christ, we should come together in unity and in love and in humility and live out those gifts that God has blessed us for the sake of others in the body of Christ. So that's a living sacrifice, isn't it? That is giving of our lives to each other, using the talents, the gifts, the energy, the abilities that God has given to us to each other in love and in humility. In verse 9, he says that love must be sincere. So not a hypocritical love, but an honest love, a true love, a love that isn't just put on the outside, but a love that comes from the heart. That takes effort, doesn't it? To love someone truly in self-sacrifice, that takes effort, takes sacrifice. He says in verse 10, "Be devoted to one another in love and honor one another above yourselves." Give yourselves to each other, he says, and put other people above your own pride, your own wants and needs. In verse 13, he says, "Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." That takes some sacrifice, doesn't it? People who are in need, they're in need of life's resources, food, shelter, clothing. Practicing hospitality, especially in the ancient world, meant taking people into your home and giving them a place to stay and feeding them for a period of time. It could be a night. It could be longer. It could be a week, a month. You practice hospitality and you provide for them. That takes sacrifice and love. In verse 14, he says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." That's hard. Those who treat you badly, those who make fun of you, those who ridicule you, those who take advantage of you, those who manipulate you, bless them. Bless them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, he says in verse 15. Get out of your own little world enough to know that your neighbor is rejoicing over something. Open up your eyes to see those who are around you in the body of Christ, in your family, among your friends, and know that people are rejoicing over something good that has happened in their lives, and join with them in that excitement and that joy. And also be aware when people are mourning and in grief around you. Mourn with those who mourn. Open your eyes to see the emotional, spiritual needs of people around you who may be going through a difficult time, and partner together with them. Join with them in that and help them through that time. Mourn with those who mourn. That takes love. That takes self-sacrifice to give of your time, of your emotions, to give of yourself to someone in that situation. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Don't fight, don't quarrel, don't squabble with one another. Don't create walls of strife and division, because a lot of times they're built up over silly things, aren't they? Silly, inconsequential things. These walls form and they separate people. And he says, live in harmony. Tear those walls down, those inconsequential small things that keep us apart. Tear them down and live in harmony with each other. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Don't think of yourself as high and mighty, as in this position of power or this level of social economic status or of this great responsibility, and look down on people who don't have that same wealth or education or position, but see them as equal brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 17, don't repay anyone evil for evil. Live at peace with everyone and do not take revenge, but leave revenge to the Lord. That's hard, isn't it? When we are wronged, we have this innate sense of fairness, of justice, and we want to retaliate when we feel that we have been wronged. But Paul reminds us that the way that Jesus laid down his life for us is he took all the wrongs, didn't he? He took all the wrongs. He took all the insults. He took all the persecution, all the beatings. He took our death, and he didn't say a word in return. Instead, he blessed those who were persecuting him. Jesus is our example in that. So let God take care of the justice. All of these things throughout this whole passage, and there may be a few that I've skipped here, but a lot of Romans chapter 12 has to do with our relationship with one another and the way that we give our lives, our bodies, our time, our money, our resources, our energy, our emotions, our wisdom, our counsel. We give our lives to one another in the body of Christ. And that's how we can worship God, as a living sacrifice. Now, I just want to close with a thought, or really a question that will make us think. And that is it harder to give your life to death in a moment of self-sacrifice for someone that you love? Or is it harder to die to yourself every day and give of yourself self-sacrificially every day as a living sacrifice to the people you love around you? Which is harder? Well, because you're all in this room and you're all living and breathing, none of us have ever given our lives to death in sacrifice for another. So none of us can say with any kind of experience or any kind of authority that that's harder than the other. But I'd like to suggest that perhaps it's harder to give of our lives every single day in self-sacrifice to those around us than it is to lay down our lives to death at a climactic moment in time for our loved ones. And I think that because if you were to give your life for your child or for your spouse, if your spouse was being hurt physically and you stood in the gap and you stood in the way and you intervened and you took that so that they could escape and you ended up giving your life, or you saw your child walking out into the street and you ran out and you pushed them out of the way, giving of yourself and sacrifice to death to save them, I think there's a sense in which that we would not welcome that, not want that, but many of us would be willing to do that because of the love that we have for those people. And really, I think because there's a sense in which that kind of a death is very honorable, isn't it? That kind of a death is honorable. We know that after we're gone, our memory will last because of the sacrifice that we give. That's a good way to die, isn't it? Other than dying slowly in pain, you give yourself nobly in sacrifice to another person. Arguably, that's a good way to die. And if you're in Christ, where do you end up? You end up in heaven, right? With God, where there is joy forevermore. And I'm not saying it's a light thing to give yourself in sacrifice to another in death. But I think it's incredibly hard, very, very difficult to give ourselves to each other every day in love and sacrifice by taking the trash out when it's full and it stinks, by cleaning the shower because it's dirty and scummy, by going out and cutting the grass because it's getting high, by going and painting the house, or going and helping another believer in Christ, someone else in your church or someone in your community who needs help, giving of your time, of your effort, of your resources. That's hard, isn't it? That's hard. A living sacrifice. That's what Jesus has called us to give to him and to each other. And so my encouragement for us today, as we think about Memorial Day, let's think about those who have given their lives for us. Let's be grateful for them. Let's remember the past. Let's learn about the past so that we won't fall into the dangers of repeating the past. Let's learn from it so that we can do better in the future. Let's honor their memories and their sacrifices. But I hope that will lead us to think about something even deeper. And that is the sacrifice of Christ that was given for us. Because that's of eternal value and cannot be taken away. Let us give proper honor and memory, celebration to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in honor of that, in memory of that, let's give of ourselves to one another in love and in self-sacrifice. I would think that for all of those people who gave their lives to save us from tyranny, that it would dishonor their memories for us to now give in to tyranny. In the same way, if Jesus laid down his life to make us holy and so that we would be a living sacrifice to one another, in a sense, it dishonors his sacrifice when we don't fulfill our purpose for which he sacrificed himself, which is to live for his glory, for the love of God, and for the love of our neighbors around us. So let's honor his sacrifice by giving ourselves in sacrifice to one another, a living sacrifice every day. And may God be pleased as we do that with our lives. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together in worship, to gather together in praise and celebrating all that you have done for us in your grace and love. Father, we want today to honor, to remember, to celebrate the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ that was made for us, that we might enjoy eternal life, eternal freedom, and eternal joy. Lord, I pray that you would help us today to honor and give the praise that it is due to the sacrifice of Christ as we seek, Lord, to fulfill our purpose in loving you and loving our neighbor and in giving ourselves in self-sacrifice to one another. Lord, help us to do this. We can only do it by your grace. We can only do it by the indwelling presence of the Spirit that you've given to us. And so, Lord, help us to do that. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.